Welcome to another installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dilleman, lead pastor at ACAC. This week, we finish the book of Ezekiel and jump back into New Testament readings from Philippians, Titus, and Philemon. And once we get back into the New Testament, there are obviously more frequent references to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So we have three references to look at this week, two from Philippians, one from Titus. Let's begin with the first, which is in Philippians chapter 2. It's a great chapter. I remember memorizing this chapter when I was driving school bus during my seminary days in Kentucky. As I would drive to the school and then drive the students home, I would just keep reciting this passage in my mind because it says a great deal to us about having a Christ-like attitude. And in that broader context, Paul begins the second chapter by saying, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and it's capital S, the Holy Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, being united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. Now, that reference reminds us that the work of the Holy Spirit includes bringing us into fellowship with other believers. People who stay away from other believers, who act like Lone Ranger followers of Christ, are not following the Holy Spirit. I realize that's a sweeping blanket statement, but Paul makes it clear that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is bringing us into fellowship with other believers. And if you read the rest of the second chapter, you really can't fulfill the apostles' instructions if you aren't in fellowship with other believers. How do you put other people ahead of yourself if you aren't even engaged with other people? So, the Holy Spirit brings us into fellowship. Paul said elsewhere, he baptizes us into the body of Christ. He doesn't baptize us into isolation. Paul's words about the fellowship of the Spirit also remind us that that fellowship has to take priority over anything that would threaten it or destroy it. He describes that fellowship as being deep and significant, not just surface level. It involves far more than being in the same room for an hour and 10 minutes on the weekend. It involves more than attending the same local assembly or saying hi to the same folks every weekend. It involves being of the same mind. Your thinking runs in the same channels. It involves maintaining the same love, because love has to be maintained all the time. But notice it's the same love, because it's the same Spirit. It involves being united in spirit, not just in doctrine, not just in ministry, but united at the deepest level in our spirit, in our souls, and intent on one purpose. Not dabbling in 100 different things, but focused on one purpose. Now, I'd like to suggest that kind of fellowship, same mind, same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, cannot be produced by human effort. That kind of intense fellowship is only produced by the work of the Holy Spirit. But the flip side that I want to emphasize is where the Holy Spirit is being obeyed, that will be the result. Where local assemblies do not adhere to this description, where they allow themselves to be culture clubs, people who are the same ethnically, economically, politically, and so on, while sitting in communities that are very diverse, where they allow that, it's clear they are not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the fellowship the Spirit produces is not sacrificed to political differences, ethnic differences, cultural differences, or economic differences. How could it be when the fellowship of the Holy Spirit makes people of the same mind, when it calls them to maintain the same love, when it calls them to unity of spirit, which supersedes shallow differences, and when the fellowship of the Spirit produces people who are intent on one purpose. Look, there are examples in the world of people who embrace significant differences elsewhere, putting those differences aside for the sake of some political purpose, some economic purpose, even some cultural purpose. Well, if people in the world can set aside differences for a shared purpose, how much more should the people of God set aside every difference for the one purpose of the one Holy Spirit who makes us one? The next reference in Philippians is in chapter 3. Paul said, "We are the true circumcision," meaning we are the true followers of Christ, because he was already dealing with false teachers. And he goes on to say, "As the true circumcision, we worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." So another area of the Spirit's work is in the arena of worship. Too many times I see the people of God sacrificing the fellowship of the Spirit because of differences in taste in worship styles. It happens all the time. And sadly, many local assemblies encourage it because they basically adopt one style of worship and say, if this is your style, we're the church for you. If this isn't your style, you can find one whose style of worship fits your preferences. They reinforce worship based on differences by sometimes targeting one demographic, one generation, one ethnic group, one political group, and then accommodating their worship entirely to reaching that specific niche group. But Paul said, the true circumcision worship in the Spirit of God. And we already said from chapter 2 that the Spirit brings us into unity despite our differences. So if our worship is in the Spirit, it means we'll set aside surface differences and submit them to the unity that the Holy Spirit produces. Now, I'm stressing that because so many times when people say, oh, the worship today was really Spirit-led. Boy, the Holy Spirit was there. Sadly, what they're often saying is, I like the music. The style of things appealed to me. There was the release of a lot of human emotion. There was a lot of boisterous activity. And certainly, the release of emotion, boisterous activity, those things can accompany worship that is Spirit-led. But Spirit-led worship goes so much deeper than emotions, physical expressions, or individual tastes in music and style. Worship in the Spirit aligns with the fellowship of the Spirit. It too involves maintaining the same love, being of the same mind, being united in Spirit. So again, we tend to put cultural definitions onto worship in the Spirit and make it all about style and music and taste. I believe when you combine chapter 2 and chapter 3, and remember when Paul wrote it was all just one letter, he would say worship in the Spirit is worship that reflects the fellowship of the Spirit. It's worship that involves multiple styles and expressions because it's carried out by people from multiple cultures and persuasions, and it honors the presence and recognizes the presence of everyone who's in the room sharing the experience. So, to put it bluntly, if the worship you enjoy is targeted at just one niche group, it's likely that it is somewhat deficient in terms of being Spirit-led worship. Our third reference comes from the book of Titus. And there, Paul says something that we've already emphasized previously. In verses 5, 6, and 7, he says that God saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, we've earlier pointed out that it is the Holy Spirit who is tasked with our renovation, with our recovery, with our regeneration, making dead things alive, with our renewal. But I want you to see what Paul said in the next verse. Whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. The Holy Spirit that works our renewal has been poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Why am I stressing that? because there are those who like to suggest that you get an initial dose of the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But if you want to come into the fullness of your salvation, you need to get a second experience with the Holy Spirit. You need to get a subsequent experience with the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul refers to the Holy Spirit being poured out upon true believers richly. That means without reservation, without withholding a portion of the blessing, and that rich outpouring comes to us through Jesus our Savior. So, when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus in you, your hope of glory. When you receive Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit, you receive everything God has for you. God can't give a piece of Himself to you. God can't be partially with you and partially absent. God is a person. He is not a commodity like milk or corn or flour. He can't be partially with you. He can't give you just a piece of Himself. He gives you all of Himself. He gives you all of His Holy Spirit. So you don't have to run around subsequent to your salvation seeking more of the Spirit or a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's already been given to you richly through Jesus, your Savior. You say, well then, why does Scripture call us to be filled with the Holy Spirit subsequent to conversion? Filling with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you get more of the Holy Spirit. That would be an impossibility because, again, He's either with you or He isn't. Filling of the Holy Spirit means the Spirit who's already in you gets more of you. He gets your focus or more of your focus. He gets more of your surrender. He gets more of your obedience. He gets more of your cooperation. So when you read about the fullness of the Spirit, don't ask God to give you more of Himself. He's already given you everything He can give. Determine that by His help and His assistance, you're going to give more of yourself in obedience and surrender to Him. And if you'll do that, rather than running around looking for some zap from heaven, you'll get on your knees and obey what God has already shown you. I'm afraid many times when people run around looking for a new experience of the Holy Spirit, they're looking for something that'll help them bypass surrender and obedience. You've already got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Obey Him, and you'll walk in His fullness. Well, that's it for this week. Have a great week following the Holy Spirit.